Good morning. For those of you who pay attention to schedules, Rich should be up here. Rich actually fell a couple of days ago and had an accident at home. He's doing okay. He's a little sore. I'm not going to really say too much more about it during the announcements, but he has a leg infection, but he's really sore. Pulled some muscles when he fell, and he was not able. He wanted to be here really, really badly. So I appreciate you bearing with me as we consider these scriptures about which we sung just a second ago. Thank you, Byron, for those excellent songs. I'm obliged with those. These scriptures that completely fit us. What do the scriptures not provide for us? Well, nothing. That's a rhetorical question. They provide everything for us. This reading from Ephesians, we're actually not going to spend a whole lot of time in the book of Ephesians, but this introduction to this letter that Paul gives us, it's a microcosm. That is, it's a small picture of the whole of what I want to talk about, all wrapped together, and you'll see more about it. And I hope after we're done, you'll go back and look at this first 14 verses of the book of Ephesians, the letter Paul wrote to Ephesians, and see if what I said here is right. We're going to spend most of our time in the second letter to Timothy, actually, today. You may want to put your thumb there. We're going to read quite a bit of this over the next few minutes. Timothy, as you know, was an evangelist. This is a letter, a personal letter, written to Timothy. Paul ran into Timothy in Lystra during his second preaching trip and accompanied Paul to Timothy on many of his journeys. He was doing the work of an evangelist. He's mentioned as a young man. He probably was a late teenager, maybe in his early 20s when he was first encountered. And many years have passed by the time we get to this second letter that he wrote to him, at least the second letter that we have recorded. These are personal letters, but yet they're part of the scriptures. And even a summary reading of these letters, these personal letters, I think the book of Philemon also, this letter is a very personal letter, they're relevant to us. And the information that Paul is giving Timothy in this letter is something that we can gain some insight. We can understand from these letters Paul's insight into the things of Christ. Paul even tells us that these letters in Ephesians 3, we can have Paul's insight. And so when we see these letters, we can't just say, well, that's just a letter to Timothy, or that's just a letter to an evangelist. We get to see what Paul's insight, this insight into the mystery of Christ, as Melvin read from the introduction to the book of Ephesians. We read these letters, we can understand Paul, as he introduced himself, someone appointed by the will of God, we can find out how we can walk in this light. And so I've seen these patterns in Paul's letters, and I hope you'll go back again and read that introduction. Maybe you'll see these patterns yourself. We're going to look for these patterns here as we consider at least chapters 2, 3, and 4 from 2 Timothy, about the things we should remember. Today's a Memorial Day weekend, part of the Memorial Day weekend. In fact, we're going to talk more about that tonight, Brent is, actually. The things we should remember. Why do we do this annually? To remember the veterans who were killed in war. And Paul always defines what it is we should remember. Then he puts in, what's the next part? Is resisting. What should we remember? How should we resist the pull of that which from which we came? Resist the devil. James said that, right? Resist the devil. What's he going to do? He'll flee from you. Remember and resist. And then Paul always puts in there, just like he did in that reading that Melvin read to us, why? To receive something, receive an inheritance. So we see in Paul's writing these patterns. These patterns are across the entire letter, sometimes like Melvin read in Ephesians 1. They're built in just the small parts of the letter to remember, to resist, and to receive. And so as you follow along with these readings, and as you do your own readings, perhaps you'll see this pattern. As Paul, the one who was appointed by the will of God, the one who tells us actually in these letters that the scriptures are full for us. Everything we need found in here. Follow along and see if you recognize this pattern of remembering, resisting, and receiving. If you've got your thumb into 2 Timothy, we're going to read quite a bit of this overall. So we'll start with first 19 verses of chapter 2. Talking to Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who were chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God, not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness." Those are the seals that we have. So you may have seen some similarities with the reading from the book of Ephesians. You should, because again, I see this pattern of remember, resist, and receive. Let's consider remembering. And he says it outright here. Remember Jesus Christ in verse 8, 2 Timothy 2, 8. And if you were in Josh's excellent lesson this morning, maybe this is among those good things on which to meditate. Remember Jesus Christ. He's telling Timothy, who he started out saying just a second ago, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." If there's anyone who doesn't need reminded about Jesus, it's Timothy. But he says to Timothy in this letter, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David. This Jesus, the one whom we shall remember, is God, is deity. How could he have seen fit to do what he did on earth? And yet, and he rose from the dead. But yet, this Jesus is a man, someone who came down to earth and lived literally among us, a descendant of David. a descendant, a descendant. He came after David, yet we know, what did David say? That he was there before. Remember, this is Jesus. This is the essence of my gospel, of the gospel Paul preaches. What has more value than God? Who? Yet he died, and yet he rose from the dead. He is the beginning, the first fruits of those who rise from the dead. Who comes after? Well, we do. Remember Jesus Christ. We are human. We are not deity. We've sinned. And yet, this Jesus, who is God and who was a descendant of man, but was yet before men, was able to taste death for us, that we should be able to obtain that salvation that Paul talked about. Talked about it in Ephesians. Talks about it all the time. Remember, resist, and receive. So we are to remember Jesus Christ, something on which we should be dwelling, something that Timothy was directed to dwell on. Jesus Christ, his humble birth, his sinless life, his atoning death, his victorious resurrection. The battle with death is over. He ascended. He is sovereign. He is at the right hand of God today, serving as our advocate. This is the Jesus whom we are to remember, the anointed one of God. Thinking about Josh's excellent lesson again, I can't help but tie this into it, even though this was unintentional. What better thing to dwell on than that? Remember the right things. We are to remember Christ and him crucified, and him having risen from the dead, so that when we have the Hymenaeuses who say, crazy things, and Philetus who say crazy things, things that spread like gangrene. That's, you don't see that terminology in the scriptures very often. Gangrene's a bad thing, and it spreads like a disease, saying silly things about the resurrection has already taken place, or other silly things, that there is no resurrection or whatever. Remember Jesus Christ. He has risen. Remember him. God remembers us in the latter part of this reading from 2 Timothy. What has God done to seal that remembrance? He has done that very thing. He has sealed us. The Lord knows who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. That's the seal. If you can think of the presidential seal or any other seal that you have, it says words around it. These are the words around our seal. So he remembers, does God. And this gets us into our next section about resisting. He sealed everyone. The Lord knows who are his. But yet, what else is on that seal? Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Resist wickedness. If we fail to resist, well, what kind of soldier are we going to be in this reading that we just read? Not a very good one, right? We'll be gummed up in all the stuff of the day. What kind of teacher are we going to be? What kind of farmer? We see that we have to resist. Our resistance is not futile. Our resistance is essential. Let's take another look at some words that Paul wrote in this letter. 2 Timothy 3. It's So in verse 8, 2 Timothy 3, some more people are listed. Jan and Jamber opposed Moses. So these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jan's and Jamber's folly was also. Now, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. And out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We've already sung about that today. You, however, verse 14, continue in the things you have learned and been convinced of, become convinced of. So even though Timothy was, he was not literally Paul's son in the flesh, but he was Paul's son spiritually. And even Timothy was being admonished. You know these things. You've read these things. Continue in these things. Yet he was going to be surrounded by evil. That's the first section of this chapter. He's going to be surrounded by these things. We didn't read the first part of it, but we'll read some of this. But realize that in the last days, Timothy's being told, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. They're in bad shape. They're holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. Avoid such men as these. These are the men who are always learning. This is sarcasm. Always learning, but what? They're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Avoid these men. You continue, Timothy, you continue. You're going to be surrounded by this stuff. Are we surrounded by this stuff? We're surrounded by this stuff. You're going to be surrounded by, avoid these things. Continue, verse 14, continue in the things that you've learned and become convinced of. To correct, continue to do that. Continue to work, to continue to pursue the opposite of all of those other things. But in fact, those opposites are down here in verse 10. Pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with the others who are doing the same thing. Continue in that stuff, Timothy. Resist all of this world foolishness that's coming around, even by people who would have a form of godliness, though they deny the power of God. Resist! Our resistance will involve following the scriptures of old even. Understanding what God's mind is and conforming our mind to His. Understanding God's thoughts, conforming our thoughts to His. But we will have to resist this. We know this. Paul has said it other places. Resist these things. Paul even told about himself having to resist these things. A good question came up in class this morning about, if doubts and things come up, you know, is that a problem? Well, it was a problem for Paul. They came up all the time. What did he have to do? Resist. Fight. Be a soldier on self and with others. Resist. Remember these things, Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ. And resist. Resist these temptations. Resist being around people like this here in the first part of 2 Timothy 3. Don't be around them. Continue in what you're convinced of. Continue in these things associated with the Scripture that is inspired of God, the Scripture that gives us everything we need, everything we need. And we will remember that Jesus, who rose from the dead, God, descendant of man, yet there before man, as David himself said, we will resist and deploy these teachings. Those are things on which we can meditate. Why? Why do we do this? Remember, resist, and then what? Receive. And then we continue to see this pattern. Our resistance is not futile. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, he tells Timothy at the beginning of chapter 4. That's pretty serious. That's serious language. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, Paul tells Timothy. Endure hardship. We're all going to suffer some. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Paul tells us, I have fought. He's resisted. I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not just to him, but to us. And not to only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Receive. Do these things, Timothy. Solemnly do these things. Preach. Reprove. Rebuke. Do what you need to do. Endure. And when you're in my spot, you will receive. Paul was in a pretty bad spot. And yet, one of the more profound statements of faith in the Scriptures is this that we just read from Paul. We shall receive that crown. Remember, resist, and receive. Now, he already described this crown back in 2 Timothy 2. We already read some of that. Paul suffered so that we also might receive this salvation. Paul is not Jesus, but Paul suffered. And we have the advantage of seeing what he wrote. We have these things in front of us now. Yet Paul also reminded us that there are some trustworthy statements. Remember those trustworthy statements we read in 2 Timothy 2? If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And then the opposites. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And then this almost seems out of place, but it makes sense. If we are faithless, what does that make God? It doesn't change him at all. He continues to remain faithful. And so we have these statements associated with the result of resisting. And so no matter what, our King is going to remain faithful. So when we remember our King, and when we resist, what can we know about our King? He will be faithful to do what? To grant to us that which has been promised. It is a sure thing. Likewise, it's a sure thing. If we don't die with him, we will also not live with him. We can state that. If we do not endure, we will not reign. The resistance is not futile, though, because when we do these things, we will receive. Those are things on which we can dwell. Remember, resist, and receive. This theme, this pattern is, it's not just in the first chapter of Ephesians and these three chapters in 2 Timothy. This is a consistent pattern I found throughout the scriptures. You have too, if you study and read. And I know you have. Look for these kinds of patterns. I like this pattern because it's simple, and it's a reminder that the scriptures are not written, in fact, by many different people. They're written by one person and penned by many different people. When we see these patterns, it gives us faith. It tells us that these things are not just the random writings of people of old, but it's the writings of the one who is the creator and sovereign. And so we can have faith when we see Paul say, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. In our own minds, that should be Stephen. Remember Jesus Christ. Timothy, continue in these things. Endure, because you're convinced of them. Stephen, be convinced. Do these things that you're convinced of. Why? Timothy, you're going to receive this crown of righteousness that I know I'm going to receive. Stephen, I'm going to receive that. You will too. Each of us will. But it's not going to happen without work. A soldier is not a soldier just because he signs something. He has to do the work of a soldier. A farmer is not going to, be a farmer unless he does farmer things like plant and reap. So, what are we going to do? Well, I hope we're going to do the things about which we're convinced. Be convinced that Jesus died for us and rose. Remember Jesus Christ. We're going to stand and sing, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Great song. I've heard it said that this is the theme song of the churches of Christ. I hate that term, but yet there's a certain amount of, are we going to get up and do the things about which we're convinced? Are we going to remember and resist, knowing with full faith that we will receive that crown of righteousness, that we will reign? Dwell on these things. Soldiers, in fact, dwell on these things from a mission perspective. They remember their mission. They plod through and execute their mission. Why? Because there's something good in the end. We have so much better. There's so much more for us. So I encourage us, maybe these are things to help us divert our thoughts from some of the things that we don't like, that we don't appreciate us thinking about, and remember Jesus. Resist and endure about those things that we know we're convinced of, and prepare to receive the crown of righteousness. How thankful we should be that these are things that we can talk about and have been written down for us that we can see. So we'll stand and sing. If there's something that needs to be said or done, This is a good time, but this is not the only time. And Byron will come on up, and we'll stand and sing Soldiers of Christ Arise.